Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Spencer Luthy. He is the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. Plenty to talk about this morning, about our friend maple syrup, a sweet treat that is definitely its own little niche industry here in Connecticut, and it is maple season this time, so talk about a timely conversation. Good morning, Spencer. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
I'm happy to have you on. You know, this is kind of an annual thing for us. We love talking about maple syrup here.
Yeah, it's great to be on.
I wanted to ask you, just in general, how is the maple season doing so far this year in Connecticut?
So far this year, we're a little below average and normal. It's been a roller coaster of a season, to put it easily. Most people are down production a little bit, but we're still pushing along.
Now, when you say that things are a little bit slower, that you guys are pushing forward with as best as you can, I'm wondering, you know, what are some of the factors leading to that? Because we've had some good years recently, but this year sounding like a little bit of a challenge for you and some others. So what's going on? Is it the weather?
Yeah, so Mother Nature needs to give us, below freezing nights. So we like to see it, you know, preferably in the mid-20s at night. And if she can get up to like 40, 45 during the early morning hours, and she'll open up and we'll get good sap runs. But she's just been not getting into those freezing nights lately.
Now, when you need those freezing nights, is it whenever you guys are trying to tap the trees, so now and maybe the last month or so? Or is that a process that needs to happen as way back as November or December?
No, so our typical season on average is, we always like to say Valentine's Day every year, and it runs usually on average 6 weeks from Valentine's Day. You know, we've been kind of bouncing back and forth year after year, but that's usually when you see the trees are starting to soak up all the nutrients and trying to push to get these leaves popping on these trees. So that's when the sugar content in the trees is higher.
So there's no way, basically, to perhaps artificially get sap out of the tree or force it out of the tree. Either the weather's cooperating or it's not, right?
Exactly. It's one of the hardest, I would say, one of the harder agricultural things to do.
And this is something that's impacting all maple syrup producers across Connecticut?
It's impacted almost every producer across Connecticut, even just in the Maple Belt alone, you know, all the way, you're hearing things up in northern Vermont, it's been a on-off year as well up there just because of the warmer temps. So it's hit or miss on the areas of your region and if you're in higher elevations versus lower.
I'm glad you brought up Vermont, because for a moment here, I want to give everybody an idea about the maple syrup industry in Connecticut versus a state like Vermont. A lot of people might think of maple syrup and associate it with Vermont. Also, New York upstate and Maine as well, they produce maple syrup too. Now, where does Connecticut rank here? Because this is kind of a little secret that people in Connecticut know about, but maybe folks elsewhere don't know that Connecticut does have its own maple syrup market and producers.
So Connecticut's on the lower end of the spectrum as far as producing maple syrup, but we do have a very strong showing of sugar makers in the state. We have everyone from, you know, your small homeowner doing it in their backyard with 10 little taps up to guys in the state with 5,000-6,000 taps. 5,000-6,000 tap operations, though, compared to Vermont, are small. But we do have a very strong showing in Connecticut, and I'm very proud of that.
Now, how long have you been taking part in the maple syrup production and tree tapping and all of that?
I've been doing maple syrup production for almost 13 years now.
How did you get started with it, Spencer?
I got invited up to my buddy's house in Litchfield, Connecticut one day. He said, "Hey, you want to come up and tap trees with me and my dad?" And I said, "Sure." And as every person in this industry, hobby, Excedrin knows that once you start, it's an addiction and you can't stop.
Well, how fortunate for you. You've kind of found a little niche here, and that's great. I'm talking with Spencer Luthi. He is the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. And this morning on Face Connecticut, I'm Morgan Cunningham, and we're talking about the maple syrup industry in Connecticut. Now, some people do this really as a business, right? They are trying to produce as much maple syrup as they can, and they're trying to bottle it up and sell it as much as possible. But others, as you mentioned, they kind of do it as a hobby. Maybe they make their own, but they don't really plan to sell it or sell much of it. So how does this range work and look in Connecticut? Do we have more hobbyists than we do producers, or the other way around? Is it kind of measured that way?
I would say we are very heavy on the hobby side of things. There's not many in the state that do it as a full-time job, unfortunately, just because we're not Vermont. But on the flip side, there are some great producers in the state that do it as a full-time job and do a great job at it. But then there's guys in the middle like myself that work full-time, but we also do this on the side and as part of our farming, and we enjoy it. We love it. We, you know, enjoy going to the markets, selling our product and showing off and showcasing what we can do with maple syrup.
Give everybody an idea, Spencer, all of the effort that goes into getting 1 gallon of maple syrup, because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of sap from what I understand, from what I remember.
So what a lot of people don't understand is if you're going to go into this, it's a labor of love. You can't just, you know, start this hobby and expect it to be done in 5 minutes. You know, we're waiting for the trees to produce the sap, and we're hauling the sap back to our farms and we're processing it. And depending on your size of operation, it could take, you could be boiling, you know, 3 gallons an hour up to 50 gallons an hour. And when the sap that you're hauling home needs to roughly be at 43 gallons of sap to 1 gallon of syrup, you could see it takes a while to get to that point of making syrup.
That's an impressive ratio. Liquid gold we're talking about.
Absolutely liquid gold. I tell everyone that when I'm hauling.
Now, what about all of the equipment that you guys need in order to make this possible? Could you talk about the setups?
So you could do anything as simple as just people have like little barrel stoves. They have little propane burners that they boil on that are just doing a couple taps. Or you can be, you know, myself, I have a big 2-foot by 6-foot pan in my sugar house with a hood and preheater, just to kind of help my process along even faster. It's fired by wood. And then what a lot of people don't understand is we have what's called reverse osmosis, which, like, if I'm bringing home, say, 200 gallons of sap, and I put 200 gallons of sap through that reverse osmosis, it's going to reduce my boiling down to only 100 gallons because it's taking 50% of that water out of that sap before it even hits my pan.
That's pretty helpful.
Absolutely. It makes the process go a lot quicker and a lot smoother.
Now, where do you guys get all of this equipment? Are there specialty producers that make the gear? And, you know, is it costly to get and to replace? Because from time to time you hear those stories about farmers that lose their equipment for their harvest, whatever it is that they're working on. And it's obviously mission critical, but it's tough to find or it's expensive to replace.
I mean, for a prime example, most of our equipment comes out of Vermont, Canada, mostly Canada, to be honest. There's some in the U.S. that do make our equipment, but our equipment is not cheap. I mean, for a guy my size, a reverse osmosis from just my size is right around $3,000. And then when you start getting into my size evaporator, you're looking upwards of $18,000.
Wow. So you guys get the equipment largely secondhand?
As secondhand, no, it's all brand new equipment.
Oh, okay. So it's not used.
It's not used. I mean, there are a huge market for used equipment, but the stuff that we can acquire is all new.
Let's talk a little bit, and I'm talking this morning on Face Connecticut with Spencer Luthi, president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. I'd like to shift the conversation to marketing maple syrup. Now, when you think about Connecticut, we are a small state, and that has its advantages and also its disadvantages. And we're smaller than Vermont, which is also a relatively smaller state when you compare it to a giant like New York or even Maine. And so how do we in Connecticut go about marketing maple syrup, which is already, compared to Vermont or some of the other states, a smaller product in comparison for our state and for what we do. But how do we compete, and how do we get local Connecticut residents interested and excited as well about what Connecticut has to offer compared to the giants, if you will?
I mean, you're pretty much asking, that's not even a really hard question to answer, because where else can you say that, you know, stuff that you're going to be putting on your kitchen table is practically done in your backyard. You know, you're using a product that the state produces and the state has plenty of, and you're putting it on your kitchen table. You're putting it, you know, next to your coffee maker. You're just putting it out there, and it was possibly produced within a few miles of your own house. That's right there. It's just enough, you know, for me to put it in my house.
Is it different from region to region, you know, Litchfield Hills versus, say, Windham or Fairfield County? Does it differ depending on where in the state you are, what's available or how much is available, or is it pretty much equal throughout the state?
I would say it's mostly equal. Obviously, you know, Mother Nature plays her role, so, you know, producers down near the shore could have a little bit harder of a year because it might have been warmer, where producers in the, you know, the northern hills here might have, you know, produced a little bit more, but it's mostly equal throughout our state.
I'm also thrilled about all of the maple events that happen across Connecticut. There are a bunch of them, and people who are interested, as you mentioned, in supporting products that come basically from your backyard, from your local part of Connecticut, or if you want to travel, it's not impossible in Connecticut to go to the other side of the state, maybe go to Litchfield Hills and get some maple syrup from up that way. So I'm wondering about all of these events that happen throughout the year, because there are a number of them, Spencer.
Yeah, there's plenty of events. Like, we have Maple Weekend coming up in the state of Connecticut, which is March 16th and 17th. A lot of maple producers post on their Facebook and social media pages of when they're going to be open to the public, and, you know, or events they may be holding on those days. And not just that, just throughout the year, you know, you'll see a lot of maple producers at farmers markets. You'll see them, a lot of maple producers at your local fairs. You know, it's just great to support them and help the industry out and even grow even stronger.
Talking with Spencer Luthy, president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on Face Connecticut, and we're talking about maple season, because we are a week away now from the 16th and the 17th. Exciting time for maple lovers. But I do want to stress that you can find maple products throughout the year in Connecticut. I mean, for instance, it was November, and I found at one of my local stores some locally produced maple syrup. Now, I don't believe that the fall, and correct me if I'm wrong, Spencer, that the fall is when maple products are generally made. So is this something that's made during the typical late winter maple season, like right around this time of year, and possibly was saved for use throughout the year or for sale throughout the year?
That's correct. Maple syrup does not have a shelf life to it, so it can last forever. Most producers in this state, we always produce in February to March, and a lot of us have enough product to make it until the next season. It gets close and it could get tight, but most of us can get through the year with the product we produced.
Is it tough to store it all sometimes?
No, as long as you keep it in a nice, cool, and dry place, you're fine. And once you open that bottle, just keep it in your refrigerator. It's never going to go bad.
And while we're talking about the actual production and sale, there's one thing that I noticed. There's always, it's almost like the same kind of bottle that I see, right? So from store to store, I'll see the usual tan bottle or maybe an olive green kind of bottle for maple syrup. But yet the producers are always different. So where do these bottles come from, or why does the industry kind of always seem to use, the typical tan bottle or the maple leaf glass bottle? I'm sure you're aware of what I'm talking about, the similar kinds of bottles.
So The tan bottles are because it's actually a company out of Massachusetts that produces those bottles. So they're just readily available to us, more consistent than other bottles are. Plus the oxygen barriers on them, they're specifically made for putting maple syrup into them. Now the glass bottles are, you know, you're getting into a little bit fancier style glass, and those we all get out of another company out of Vermont. There's also one out of New York that a lot of us buy glass through, and it's just a more fancier way of showcasing your product that you've made.
Those are pretty cool. I always like those, but you taught me something just now that I actually didn't know, that those tan bottles made in Massachusetts, which I also didn't know, are actually made specifically for maple syrup storage. I didn't know that that was a thing.
That is.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Now let's talk a little bit about use for maple syrup, because a lot of people, myself included, often use it on pancakes. And that's probably the most simple use of maple syrup, but there are all other kinds of uses for it in cooking and baking. Could you talk about some of the variety of uses for maple syrup, Spencer?
So my question to you is, where would you stop? You know, a lot of people think that honey is solely for their tea and things like that, but honey is the same exact way. It's not. So maple syrup, I put it on my vanilla ice cream. I put it on white rice. We take our maple syrup and we make it into maple sugar, and we make spices out of that. And we use spices on a ton of variety of foods. We also make maple sugar candies, and that's just something that us producers can, it's an added value product. Now, I also use maple syrup on our hams, just straight maple syrup. I mean, there are so many options for your use on maple syrup that people use it also as a back sweetener for their coffees instead of using your typical white sugar.
There are so many uses. Is there any one area, maybe in Connecticut, where people can find perhaps recipes or ideas for maple syrup?
I mean, the internet is just such a easy use and an easy target these days that anywhere on the internet you're going to find, you know, recipes for uses of maple syrup. You can also check out ctmaple.org. That brings you right to our website. There's recipes on there. There's recipes all over the place. If you just, you know, type in maple syrup recipes, things will come up.
Spencer Luthy is our guest this morning on Face Connecticut. He is the president of the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut. And in our remaining few minutes here, Spencer, I want to talk a little bit about you. Now, what's your role as president of this association?
So I was just elected in November to become president of the association.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's much appreciated. It's definitely a nice thing to have. It's you know, I don't want to say it too loud, but nice younger blood in there. And we can also help, you know, attract some more of these smaller hobby producers in the state to become part of our association, and hopefully help push that and our marketing within the state, just so people know our presence a lot heavier. And, you know, we're out there to help try educating everyone across the state that either wants to get into the hobby or is already in the hobby, but just needs that little bit more education to keep moving along.
For somebody that is interested in becoming part of this hobby or part of this industry, what would you tell them that they need to know, maybe that they don't already know, about maple syrup production as they consider this and think about, okay, what are my first steps going to be?
So, I mean, it's... I would say your best bet is just to make sure you got some time on your hands, because it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, the next thing is, it's a great family time. I myself have three kids, all under the ages of 7, and they love it. They enjoy it. They love doing it. They love going up to the sugar house, making maple syrup. They enjoy checking their buckets at the end of the day to just help and, you know, see what's in there, because to see what a tree can produce is so unique to these kids these days that they absolutely love every minute of it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just had a conversation recently with the organizers of this year's Hebron Maple Festival, and they are kind of doing things the old school way, the way that they used to do it a number of years ago. They had a different organizer, and so they're bringing back some of their roots, if you will, and some of their original displays. And one of them is a display for kids on how maple syrup is actually produced. So they have kind of a sample tree that they drill some holes in, and the organizers and the volunteers will actually teach the kids how maple syrup is produced and how all of that works. And if you ever go there or to any other kind of event, Spencer, and I've seen this myself, the kids are mystified by it. They love it. I used to be one of them, actually, that really loved watching that process.
Yeah, I mean, my kids in particular couldn't wait to get out to put their hole in the tree this year. Like I said, I have twins that are 2.5 years old and my 7-year-old. They were practically running to the tree in the middle of the snow. I couldn't stop them because they were just so excited to go out there and tap a tree. And, you know, it's very rewarding to see what you can produce from a tree.
Do you think that your kids one day will be following in your footsteps and kind of doing what you're doing now?
I hope they go a step above and beyond me, and you know, and I hope one of them gets bit even harder and they want to take it even bigger.
Nice. All right, Spencer, he is our guest, and we are wrapping up this morning. He's the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut president. I did want to ask you, though, for a number, because I believe in more recent years, maple syrup accounted for, what was it, $1 million worth of Connecticut's agriculture industry, which that's really nothing to sneeze at, especially given how short the season is in Connecticut. Is that right? Have you heard that figure before?
Yes, I have heard that figure before. Unfortunately, offhand, I don't know the exact figure this year, but I've heard it's upwards of like 1.2 million, if I remember correctly.
Nice. So it's up a little bit from the last update that I had.
Correct. That was, I believe that statistic is from 2021.
Okay. And do you ever find yourself talking with the State Department of Agriculture about what you're experiencing in the industry?
I've experienced myself talking to them a lot more this year just because I am president of the association. I've been in contact with Department of Ag almost weekly, just about different things and stuff. Nothing, you know, alarming, just trying to keep them up to date and them asking questions as well.
Right, just regular conversation. Well, Spencer, any final ideas, information that we didn't get a chance to touch on this morning, and any final contact information either for yourself or for your organization's website?
I would say just, you know, get out March 16th and 17th, check out your local sugar houses, and, you know, even local restaurants around the state are also helping, you know, push maple season and maple month here in the state of Connecticut, and understand that we are in the sweetest months of the year right now.
Spencer, I wish you a lot of luck with the rest of the season, and thank you for coming on Face Connecticut this morning. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you.
All right, you take it easy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.